It's 8 o'clock and you're listening to the regional newscast from KVNF. Responders are now handling a 400-plus acre fire in Moffett County, southwest of Elk Springs, and it's not known when it will be contained, as reported by the Craig Daily News. The fire is thought to have begun about 3:30 in the afternoon Saturday from an undetermined cause, according to Sue Valente, acting public information officer for the Northwest Colorado Fire Management Unit. Both private and Bureau of Land Management properties have been affected. As of yesterday, the fire has grown from 300 acres to roughly 430 acres. Valente said that the cool weather was a plus in the firefighting efforts. Several firefighting crews were able to assist in the Elk Springs fire yesterday, including a BLM squad, two Juniper Valley crews, the Roosevelt Hotshots, and the Wyoming Hotshots. Additionally, two air attack modules, five single-engine air tankers, one helicopter, and county and state engines were working the fire on Sunday. The fire is burning in grass, sage, pinyon, juniper, about 1.5 miles south of U.S. Highway 40, southeast of Elk Springs. The Northwest Fire Management Unit said the main concern for the fire is the protection of the community of Elk Springs, ranch residents, structures, oil and gas facilities, primary sage-grouse habitat, and major transmission lines. The Moffett County Sheriff is concerned about the control of traffic along U.S. Highway 40 and any evacuations they may need to have if necessary. The Alakai Fire, northwest of Craig, has burned more than 20,000 acres. It's 90% contained, however. The fire started Wednesday, and the cause of it is still under investigation. Lynn Barclay with the Bureau of Land Management in Craig describes the terrain where crews were battling the blaze.
It's in really heavy sagebrush and grass, so it can move really quickly through that fuel type. And this year, because we did have a wet spring, the grass that we have out there is thicker, taller, and the sagebrush out in that area can get very, very tall, over 5 feet. It's kind of rolling, flat terrain, but there are drainages and draws. And when you get some wind on that continuous fuel bed, the fire just runs.
Oil and gas production sites are in the area, and it is also habitat for greater sage grouse. Barclay says two structures, a homestead cabin and a barn, were damaged by the fire. Russell Stover Candies has been bought by Swiss chocolate company Lindt and Springley. The purchase was announced earlier this month. Russell Stover has two factories in Kansas, one in Texas and one in Montrose, Colorado. The purchase made Lindt the number three chocolate manufacturer in North America. KVNF tried to reach Russell Stover to comment on the acquisition and see how it will affect the factory in Montrose. The company has yet to respond to the request. The price of the sale wasn't disclosed, but the Financial Times estimates the number to be around $1.4 billion. Russell Stover reports annual sales around $500 million and employs about 2,700 people. This November, Colorado voters will once again decide on an amendment that would give unborn babies the same constitutional and legal rights as a person. The measure is bringing out some familiar faces, and as Benta Berkland reports, it's also impacting one of the closest U.S. Senate races in the country.
Attack ads are already running on both sides of the political spectrum. Here's one from incumbent Democratic Senator Mark Udall, calling his challenger's record troubling.
Because this really matters, it's important you hear this directly from me. My opponent, Congressman Gardner, led a crusade that would make birth control illegal and sponsored a bill to make abortion a felony, even in cases of rape and incest. We're talking about your rights as women, as families, as Coloradans.
Udall is referring to the so-called Personhood Amendment. Colorado voters overwhelmingly rejected it twice, in 2008 and in 2010. Republican Representative Cory Gardner was a strong supporter, but has since reversed course. His campaign says Gardner now opposes the personhood measure because it has the potential to outlaw common forms of birth control. He's running his own ad.
Barack Obama's smart guys from Washington think they can come into Colorado to play politics. They're attacking me for changing my mind about personhood after I learned more and listened to more of you. No wonder Senator Udall and President Obama can't relate to that.
this year, the language on the initiative is different. Instead of granting personhood at the moment of fertilization, the proposal would include unborn human beings in the Criminal Code and Wrongful Death Act.
This would be very sweeping.
That's Nancy Leong, a professor at the University of Denver's Sturm College of Law.
The immediate thing that a lot of people are reacting to is the reproductive arena. But if you think about how many times the word person and how many times the word child appear in the Colorado Constitution, there's hardly an area of law that wouldn't potentially be affected in some way.
She cites child abuse laws as one example.
If there were some argument that a woman placed her unborn fetus in a position that led to the miscarriage.
Leong says it will also have interesting political implications.
People who believe strongly in reproductive rights will be galvanized.
Democrats are certainly trying to use the personhood proposal to attract women and independent voters. At a recent rally to kick off the No on Amendment 67 campaign, the left-leaning group Progress Now Colorado brought a full-size cutout of Congressman Gardner to illustrate his flip-flop on the issue.
I don't know if the personhood amendment per se is the big deal. The big deal is the larger backdrop.
That's Colorado State University political science professor John Strayer. He says it benefits Democrats to focus on social issues and attempt to depict Cory Gardner's views as outside the mainstream.
I think the Udall folks, knowing that Cory has an attractive persona, he's young, he's energetic, he's smart, he would be a tough opponent. And so I think from their standpoint, the strategy had to be to define Cory for most of Colorado before Cory got a chance to define himself.
Whether that'll be successful is hard to say. Polls show the U.S. Senate race is neck and neck. Owen Loftus is a spokesman for the Colorado Republican Committee. He says abortion isn't an issue at the top of most voters' minds.
Even if you look at polling about women voters, the issues that are most important to them, it's jobs and the economy.
And Loftus says he doesn't think the personhood measure will hurt Gardner, even though Gardner still supports a similar federal proposal.
It's not personhood federally. The Democrats like to say that it is personhood, but it's not.
The federal bill is called the Life at Conception Act.
Obviously, he's a victim of some bad political advice. There's no reason for him to pull local support while he's still 100% behind the federal amendment.
Jennifer Mason is a spokeswoman for the Yes on Amendment 67 campaign. She says by changing his position at the local level, Gardner is showing it's more a political game than personal conviction.
He certainly didn't win over any Republicans. You know, our base here in Colorado is made up of conservative voters. So, who have been very disappointed with Cory Gardner.
Still, Mason admits that most of those conservative voters are still likely to vote for Gardner, especially when they're upset over other hot-button issues, such as Obamacare and Benghazi. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
A handful of Republican governors spoke on a panel at the Aspen Institute last week. The group included New Jersey Governor and 2016 presidential hopeful Chris Christie. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher reports.
The governors listed their accomplishments in reforming agencies or policies, whether it was taxes or education. But attendees pushed them to consider trickier issues, like the tremendous surge of illegal immigrant kids on the U.S.-Mexican border. First, Chris Christie.
I think we all feel a great sense of sympathy for these children. But can we use some plain common sense?
Christie is frustrated the Obama administration may be relying on illegal family members to make sure those kids get officially approved by immigration. Christie is considered one of the top Republican contenders for the White House in 2016, but a scandal earlier this year over political bullying and a new investigation into bridge investments may have put a wrench in those aspirations. For now, Christie is reportedly trying to put all of that behind him. After Christie said his piece about children immigrating to the U.S., Kansas Governor Sam Brownback jumped in. He believes the larger immigration policy is to blame.
There are kids dying in this process of moving up here, and our youngest son's from Guatemala. When you create this expectation that if you get across the border, you're good, this is going to make it.
Brownback echoed other governors in saying the country's southern border needs to be more tightly locked down. Another meaty question was this one from a Republican New Yorker named Paul Pariser.
I voted Republican on most of the presidential races since I've graduated college, and I feel over the last many years that we've been abandoned. I've been abandoned. The social issues of the Republican Party that get pounded on in the debates just are casting a dark eye on people like me who are a little more open and flexible to gays, to women and minorities. I'd just like to get your sense of how we can turn this around a little bit.
Governor Christie.
I'm trying to get over my shyness, but I'll see what I can do. Listen, you know, this is something that I hear all the time from folks like you who come from my part of the country or from the West Coast.
Christie says it's about the way Republicans talk about their beliefs on social issues.
People want folks who are authentic and who believe what they say is true, but also are willing to be tolerant and listen to others' points of view.
A conciliatory message from the governor, who's known for his strong opinions. Time will tell whether discussions like last night's will help Christie move beyond his bridge scandals. The conversation with governors continues next week. That's when Democratic leaders, including Colorado's John Hickenlooper, will speak at the Institute. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio News.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife says it has plenty of leftover big game licenses for the 2014 season. KBNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
The agency says it has about 6,000 deer, 30,000 elk, 5,000 pronghorn, and 1,800 bear licenses for the fall hunting season. Joe Lewandowski, a spokesman for Parks and Wildlife, says the deadline to apply for big game licenses was in April. He says most hunters don't get their first choice, and the agency usually has leftover licenses available for purchase.
Every year, at this time, we publish a list of those game management units and species where people can find leftover licenses. To get these, people have to go onto our website. Basically, you can just Google Colorado Parks and Wildlife and go to our big game hunting page. And all of the units in the state where there are leftover licenses are listed. It gives how many licenses there are, what seasons they're for, if they're youth only or private land only. So there are a lot of nuances to this, and don't want to give people the idea that, in the Gunnison Basin, it's easy to find a leftover license.
Lewandowski says hunting in Colorado is popular because 60% of the state is public land.
These are big swaths of land where animals have a lot of room to roam and not much human disturbance.
The leftover licenses go on sale August 5th. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
You've been listening to the regional newscast on KVNF. Stay tuned for Michelle and the Sweet Sound.